friends. Welcome to the Blessed Business Podcast, where we help you live in the flow of blessing. I'm Brooklyn.
And I'm Hunter. And today we have an amazing guest, Michael Drake, who's the CEO of Master IT, joined us to talk about his thoughts on leading a Christ-centered business. Master IT is a thriving, blessed business that provides IT technology support to customers in the Memphis area. Well, without any further ado, here's our interview with Michael Drake. Thank you for joining us today, Michael.
It's great to be with you, Hunter.
Well, tell us a little bit about Master IT and how it got started and kind of your role here.
Sure. Well, Master IT delivers technology as a service to the small and medium business. We define that as the 20 to 500 person company. In essence, we are their IT department if they don't have one, and we're more leverage if they do. I have been in the technology sector for almost 30 years, and so I got the idea for the business itself about 12 years ago. I worked for a European publicly traded company. I was the country manager in the United States. And the chairman of that company asked me to go to Brussels, Belgium, to do the due diligence on the acquisition of a company that really is very much like Master IT. And so we bought that company, and I had a very small budget to launch the activity in the United States. This chairman, by the way, is one of my business mentors. So we're friends, but we couldn't agree on how to deliver the business model. Tool sets, pricing, go-to-market strategy, that type of thing. And I wanted to really create the business with him outside of the publicly traded company. Fortunately for me, it didn't seem that way at the time. He thought me being an entrepreneur was a better idea, so he kicked me out of the nest and he said, "You need to go be an entrepreneur." Tore up my non-compete and he said, "Any intellectual property that we've developed is yours." So I was free to start this activity in 2006. And we began with a small team and brought aboard a team of delivery experts. And we started really with the same business model. The tools have changed tremendously. If you think about it, the iPhone didn't exist 10 years ago, nor did a tablet. And it's changed the way that we behave. So the tools that we use have changed tremendously. But really, the go-to-market strategy hasn't. And really, what we do is we provide a framework, a process, for people to deliver technology as a business process, just like you might outsource your janitorial services to ServiceMaster or your payroll services to ADP or your marketing services to you.
Thank you.
People do that with Master IT. And the beauty of it is in the last 10 years, we've had the perfect storm of the elements to make that happen. We now have the ubiquity of the internet. We have these very fast broadband connections that allow us to do things remotely and in real time. The tool sets exist today for us to be able to provide it at a small business price. And business owners now are looking at technology like everything else in their P&L and saying, "We're really good at what it is that we do, whether it be making widgets or treating patients or providing legal services, but we're not great at delivering technology. We have to have it to do what we do." So they look to people like us more and more.
Absolutely. Well, I can definitely say from everything that I've heard and seen firsthand that Master IT is definitely the leader in technology in Memphis for sure and the surrounding area. Well, tell us a little bit. Now, the objective of today is I actually want to talk to you a little bit about beyond the IT and everything that you do, because everything you talked about is important because it's how you serve your clients, which goes back to kind of the core of your business, which is what I want to talk about today, is leading a Christ-centered business. So tell me a little bit about how kind of even the formation of the business, how it started with God in mind and putting God back in your business.
Sure. Well, you know, it starts first with my own faith story. I became a Christian at a young age. I was raised in the church, and you know, biblical principles have always had a huge impact on my life. And I would say that in my journey, God has been very gentle with me in terms of life changes. The idea for Master IT came about over a period of time. Many people that I know and have watched make these huge life changes because maybe somebody gives them a banker's box and says, "Clean your desk out, you've got to go do something else." That wasn't the way it was with Master IT. I think the Holy Spirit really started to put on my heart a long, long time ago what real passions for me are. And I think it's important to the story that you know, and the audience knows, that I'm not a technologist at heart. My background is finance. I was a banker and a CEO and certainly in a technology company, but I wasn't the guy that turned the screwdriver. So God probably 2 or 3 years before we started Master IT, really started speaking to my heart about creating a business. Number one, becoming an entrepreneur. I think that was always in the plan for me, whether it was Master IT or a hot dog stand, I wanted to fly in the left seat of the plane. And so that was kind of bubbling up inside of me. And I can tell you, God spoke to me as clearly as we're having this conversation today about Master IT. When I went to Belgium and did the due diligence on buying that company, literally when I walked in the front door the first time, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. And it was like, this is what you've trained your whole life to do. It was the ability to take the 20 years of business experience I'd had up until that time, the people that worked in my group that I felt were destined for something different and were very talented, and then match that with what the need in the marketplace was. And so it was kind of this perfect storm that God was orchestrating, if you will, or maybe a symphony, better put. And it had to do nothing with technology. And it had nothing to do with making money. It had everything to do with really what my passions in life are. The first one is young people. What I defined at the time is the 18 to 35-year-old, because they are our future. People development, many people would call it leadership development or leadership training, but people development and providing the best atmosphere for people to be the best they can be. And then behavioral health, which might sound disconnected, but it does affect everybody. And so over a period of time, God just kind of put this on my heart. Then I went and did the due diligence and created a business plan. And as I mentioned before, with the publicly traded company, we developed that activity for about 6 months. And then we decided with the rest of our business to sell that to a UK-based company. And I was free to develop this on my own. So that is kind of how God put it on my heart. And then to actually put it into practice is a little bit different. I felt like I had one chance to get this right as an entrepreneur and also as a Christian. I really wanted people to understand that this was a Christ-inspired and a Christ-based business. So, you know, it began first with the name of the company, Master IT. And, you know, when you think of a master, you know, you kind of think, well, what comes to mind? And most people would think of an athlete or a painter or an actor or some type of a performer, or you could think of Christ as our master. Mm-hmm. And what all of these people have in common, and not to really compare them to Christ, but the commonality is these are people who make very difficult things look very simple. And it's because they've been given a lot of talent. They've been given a lot of advantages, but they typically work a lot harder than other people. And so that's part of where the master came. But then if you look at the logo of Master IT, it's a lowercase master and an uppercase IT. And it's really the servant leader model, everything that Christ embodies. And that was a great way for us to communicate that as well. Because when people didn't know who we were in the marketplace, they'd say, what is Master IT? And it gave us the opportunity to tell them that IT is technology and Master is the servant leader model. We're a Christ-based company. So it created just the door opening for a conversation. And that then led to, in creating a business, I'm a student of Jim Collins. And in his book, Good to Great, he talks about the value of core values. And not to make a judgment what people's core values should be, he just said that everyone needs to have core values, because if you don't, then you'll just go whichever way the wind blows. And so we developed 4 core values within Master IT: innovate, communicate, face reality, and serve. And that fourth foundational core value, serve, again, goes back to Christ and biblical principles of to think more about the other person, or do unto others as you would have done to you, and you know, love your neighbor as yourself. And then you have to ask the question, well, who is my neighbor? Well,
right.
My neighbor is everyone. And so having those core values, it gave us, again, the opportunity to expand on the culture of what Master IT is and to create it that way. I believe very strongly that you can't teach culture. You can only attract it. And so by putting that out there and saying, would we hire somebody, fire somebody, sign a client, or ask to part ways with the client based on any of those core values, if they weren't matching, would we do that? And we've done that. And so again, that gave us a DNA that the people that we attracted help and reinforce the culture of Master IT better than I can. And so that's kind of how God led me to it and how we started with just kind of those foundational building blocks. And we've built upon it from there.
Well, and I've noticed something that you actually reward, you focus on those core values, and particular one, you know, like you said, serve goes back to everything that you do for the client, because if you're not serving them right as that servant leader model, then it's not going to end up well. It's not going to be a successful business. And right. That's one of the things we talk about or plan to talk about in this podcast is the blessed business. And so taking and finding your foundational core values of what you've talked about, aligning that with your purpose, and even from the get-go, everything that you've done has been directed by God. That the Bible says that, you know, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And so leaning into that and leading with that and not being ashamed of that is important. I know on your website even, you talk about under your mission section that our mission is to first honor God in all that we do, thought, word, and deed. And I think that's so awesome that you actually even put that on your website, because some businesses are afraid to even mention that and say, well, yes, we're Christians behind the scenes, but being able to put that out there and not be ashamed of that. So maybe tell me a little bit about some practical ways that both y'all incorporate God principles into your business, and then also maybe some tips for others that are looking to do the same.
Sure. Well, let's get this straight early in the conversation, in that we're not perfect. Obviously, we're sinners. And so it's hard to live up to that. But I think it's important to say, yes, we do seek to honor God first in all we do, in thought, word, and deed, but that we're humans and we're not perfect. And when we don't, we make mistakes. I do every day, is to own that, you know, to own up to it. So I think that's, for me, that's first and foremost important. Secondly, you've been in our conference room, and so you know that we have 10 commandments that are posted in the conference room, and they're all posted in the thou shall instead of thou shalt not. And the very first one is lead. You know, and people have heard the saying lead by example. Well, our first commandment is lead because you are the example. And it's very important. It's a nuance, but it's very important because, you know, we look to Christ as our example of how we should live life in all facets. And when we serve our clients, they look to us as the leader for technology for them. And so we have to put our place in that position and think about that. We have to own that. And we are the example whether we do well or we don't do well. And when we don't do well, is to own that and to be transparent and honest about that and always do the right thing. And, you know, I could think of so many examples over the last 10 years of where we could have done something differently, but we always said at the end of the day, what's the right thing to do? And I know that's a simple thing to say. It's a lot harder for people to follow through with that sometimes, I think. So I think that's kind of the first guiding principle of that. And in terms of, you mentioned people being apprehensive about, you know, saying anything about being a Christian. I'm fortunate in that I'm not in a publicly traded company, and I'm not bound by what culture or Wall Street expects. I lived in a publicly traded company right before, and I understand how difficult that is for Christian leaders, and I know some great ones that have to think about that more than I do. But the way I look at it is, even if you're not a Christian, if you're an atheist or a Muslim or you're Jewish, no matter what your faith is, I think if somebody espouses something positive, whether it be Christ or Martin Luther King or Gandhi or Rumi or you pick, I think all of those people I mentioned, they take a lot of their teaching and what they say and do from Christ. Mm-hmm. So in business, it can't be a bad thing to espouse good values and to think of the other person first. And we're in the service business. And you know, when you serve people, they have a lot of alternatives. And you want to meet and exceed expectations, and so we feel like that's the best guide that we can follow.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. I know that there's a lot of different principles that we read, whether it's in business books or we see in communities or different speakers, they'll talk about it. And it's all inspiring and great, but like you said, a lot of it goes back to the Bible. And so there's different principles that we can pull out of both God's word and just the nuance of kind of the meaning behind it. You know, even taking the do unto others that you would have them do unto you. Well, that goes back to the scripture, and it talks about that. And how you apply that in business, in customer service, is huge. And that will in turn determine whether or not your business is blessed. Because if your employees are treating your clients right, or you are, all those things are working correctly together, then the overall lift happens, and that overall business is blessed because of it, because customers are happier, they refer more. It's right. Kind of a cycle. And so I really think that there's a lot of these principles that if we can truly apply them, and y'all are doing an excellent job of doing that, then it truly does impact the business bottom line. It really does.
Well, just to maybe pick up on that, you maybe think while you were explaining the concept, is that if you think about Christ and every interaction that he had, whether it was with the disciples or with anyone he encountered, he was very, very intimate.
Right.
He was living in the present moment with them. Obviously, he was omniscient. He knew all, but he was very, very present. And, you know, in today's world of technology, it's just a tool. And I see many times people really get wrapped around the axle regarding the technology rather than what it does to allow us to be more intimate. And that's why there's a big part of our business that is consulting, that really helps people take technology from where they are to where they want to be. And maybe it's a stretch to call that a Christ-based principle, but again, we try to interact with people in that same way, because technology sometimes has a way of removing us from being intimate. We can hide behind it, whether it's behind the email or the text or, you know, long-distance communication. There's something about just being very up close and personal, and we try to do that in the business as well.
Absolutely. Perfect. Well, tell me a little bit about what role prayer has in your business. I've actually been in some of y'all's meetings, communication meetings and different things, as well as I believe your business partner, Gary, sends out an email. And at the end of that, it's a kind of a team communication thing where, hey, this is what we need to work on. This is what we need to do. And here's some, you celebrate success of like if someone's got a good, you know, testimonial or different things of that nature. But then at the bottom, it talks about prayer requests. And if you have a prayer request, you can send it to him. But then he also lets other people know so that you can kind of keep each other that in mind for prayer and stuff like that. So tell me a little bit about the role that has.
Sure. Well, any team communication meeting that we open in prayer. It's the few times that we're all together as a group. And people that know me know that I speak of what we do in terms of it takes a village to do what we do. We have many different people in dedicated roles that provide this different outcome in technology than other people receive. And because of that, we're in a lot of different places at one time. And so when we are together, we want to live in community, and we want to celebrate, number one, the gifts that we've been given. We're a blessed business. And to give thanks for that first, but then also to pray for direction and wisdom. Business is so complicated today. People have so many alternatives and options, and people are so busy. We just want to kind of stop and be centered and really give thanks, ask for direction. And then as it relates to Gary, it's a team communication that goes out every day, first thing in the morning, very early, that gives people kind of a dashboard of what's going on yesterday and today. And if anybody has a need, we want to address that. If it's unspoken, we can do that. The very last thing he said is, you were prayed for today. And I think just knowing that you have an environment that you work in that you're cared about as a human being first versus how much revenue you can generate or what skill set that you bring is comforting. I think the other thing that's interesting is, and I'll only speak for Gary and myself, is even when we are in a business lunch setting, we'll say a blessing. And it's only because we're thankful, and that's what we feel we should do. And it's interesting how people react in a business setting, even Christians, because right. they're not used to it typically. But 9 times out of 10, people say, you know, thank you very much. I really appreciate you doing that. And I think it's just in this very busy, fast-paced world to give God the glory and the credit for what's already His anyway, and that we're just stewards of that, is just something that we do.
Well, and I think what it goes back to is, because I've had that exact same experience where you're at dinner or lunch and it's a business setting and you're kind of uncertain, like, because maybe you don't know the other person, whether they're a person of faith or not. And you say, hey, you know, do you mind if I say a quick blessing over this? And I've had the exact same response. But, you know, I'll admit there's been times I was intimidated to do that with someone maybe I was meeting for the first time. But I think what it goes back to is being secure in your identity of who you are as a Christian and who you are as a company and as an organization by setting that up front. Even, like I said, putting on your website and just in different communications that you do, you're letting people know, this is where my value system is. This is who I am. And so it should be expected. And so you shouldn't back away from that, but instead lean into that and say, you know what, this is who we are. And I think God blesses that. And I think that other people respect that, even if they aren't a person of faith. I've seen that many times where they'll be respectful of it.
Yeah, it's a concept that kind of came to me a long time ago was, you know, that we can't live our life like a chest of drawers. You can't have a drawer where we're one way and then somewhere below that a drawer where we're another, because we're a whole human being. I mean, that's what integral means. I mean, you know, we're a whole person. And I think it's important just to be who you are. And people are looking for people that they can trust. And I know maybe the response to that might be, well, you know, people look at Christians sometimes or people that would pray in public and be like a Pharisee and, you know, stand in the synagogue and be heard. But maybe they're a hypocrite. And again, I think the important thing is just to say, look, I'm a human being, and I'm sincere in what I'm praying about, but at the same time, I'm a sinner. And I think that takes time for people to fully understand, but in my experience, people have accepted that.
Absolutely. Well, and I like going back to a point you mentioned earlier about it takes a village. Now, you incorporate that both in how you deliver service and as a client, to clients rather, and also internally, and you celebrate that. But I think that goes back to some biblical principles, even if we don't realize it, about we need the body and how we need each other. And there's a lot of principles, and you know, there's a lot of the Bible dedicated, especially in the New Testament,
right,
of how we are to interact with other believers and other people that we're interacting with, our neighbor, as you said. And so I think there's a lot of that I've seen in your organization, that it's about team players, not all-stars. And while some of us may have different skill sets than others, but we all need each other. And I think of the scripture talking about, you know, what if the foot says, hey, I'm going to be a hand, or vice versa.
Yeah, Paul was very, very correct about that. And even if you think about the 12, if you think about their personalities, right, of how different they were, and Christ handpicked them for those reasons. And one thing I've learned in my business career that I made a mistake in my earlier companies is that I had a tendency to recruit people just like me because they were all normal just like I am, right? And I found out that that's great for me, but maybe not so great for the client, in that it does take diversity because we're all so different. And if you really want to attack a problem, or solve a problem, or you need different perspectives and different ways of processing information, different ways of communicating, because not everybody is like I am. And so we've been very diligent and intentional about that from the beginning. And you know, you've seen that we look at people's hardwire behavior, and we also look at how they kind of deal with their strengths and their struggles, that sometimes a strength overdone can be a struggle. And that's why, again, another thing that we look at is, I think it's somewhat biblically based, but the famous business author Patrick Lencioni wrote a book called The Ideal Team Player. And he talked about the three virtues of the ideal team player would be to be humble, hungry, and smart. And to me, that's kind of Christ-based. I mean, Christ was certainly humble. Mm-hmm. And he was hungry in terms of wanting to redeem the world to God. And he was smart in that, not necessarily, I mean, obviously from an intellectual perspective because he's omniscient, but understanding how he related to people.
Right.
And I think that's really, really important that we become self-aware. So we use those elements as well in helping a person discover who they are. And again, this is one of those things that God put in my heart in creating this business. It's just a vehicle to go play that out in real
right.
time, and that to help whomever, help Hunter be the best hunter he can be. He's not going to be like Mike. He's going to be Hunter. And that's my job as the CEO, is to create that environment where they can thrive.
Well, absolutely. And I believe that you've done a great job of that. And if we focus on that as business leaders, even if we don't understand all the principles behind it, like what you were saying, a lot of it does go back to that Bible-based model. And there's a blessing that comes from that. Because when everyone's on the same team, when they are celebrated, when we look to each other as different team players and all these different factors come together, everyone operates better. They feel like a human being, like you were talking about earlier. And everything just kind of meshes together a lot better and it flows better. One way to think about it is it being the flow of blessing, where everything that you're doing just works better. Whereas if you're not, and the team is disjointed and they're all trying to jockey for different positions and, well, hey, look at me, I'm awesome. And, well, hey, don't give it to this guy over here because he's going to drop the ball. And he may look better than me if he does succeed. If we have that culture going on internally, it brings the overall level of everything down, and the productivity goes down, overall enjoyment of people's jobs goes down, engagement goes down, all these things go down, which ends up in a poor end result to the client and internally. And so overall, I mean, it's going to affect the bottom line eventually, some way, somehow.
Well, it also reminds me too, they don't have to work on your team forever for you to influence them. In today's world, people do not stay in the same role or the same company as long as they used to. And I have a specific example. There was a young man that worked for us in the very beginning, and he was recruited to Washington State to open a company very much like ours. So in a way, it was gratifying. It was hard to see him go. But the week that he left, his father passed away.
Oh, wow.
And so here he is all the way across the country, and he just recently made a job change. And this has been 7 years since he worked with us. And he called me during that process. And we communicate, you know, through Facebook and email occasionally, and we talk occasionally. But this was a big moment in his life. And his father wasn't there. And he turned to me because he knew I had that servant leader role for him. And that was really gratifying to me as a leader, that all these years later that he would think of me in that way. And that has nothing to do with business, and it has everything to do with business.
Absolutely. Well, ultimately, business is about relationships. If you aren't building a relationship with your client, if you aren't building a relationship with your team, if you aren't doing those things, then eventually it's going to come back to bite you. Because if it's only transactional and it's not relationship and experience based, it's not going to have a good result. And I think that taking that beyond business and caring about the people and seeing them develop, that does something for people. And they want to perform better. They have a desire to get up and come to work. You know, clients are more likely to refer someone like that, where, hey, you know what? This is a company that believes in others. It believes in people. It's doing great service. They deliver exceptionally well, but they're also really cool people.
Yeah, I mean, with every technological advancement, I've seen this in my career, that, you know, as we move from the printed word to the word processor, and then from the word processor to email, and then from email to where we are today with voice, video, and data. Every technological advancement that we've had, I believe, makes people appreciate real intimacy more. I'll give you an example. You know, think about how you feel when you receive a handwritten note.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, for something, or goodness gracious, if you actually meet face to face. In today's world. So I think it's again, the more the technology advances, the more that we go back to the basics, which is exactly what Christ did. I mean, he lived among people, and he was face-to-face and very intimate with them. And that's what we try to recreate here.
Well, and one of your sayings I've heard you mention before is people, process, and technology. And people is first on purpose, probably.
Yes.
Because it's such an integral part of success. Well, I want to ask you a couple of things. So obviously you've been a very successful Christian business leader and entrepreneur, but tell me some pro tips. Like, for instance, I know that you have one thing that you do when you read books. So tell me a little bit about some things that you do that kind of gives you kind of that edge.
Well, maybe I just haven't been able to leave elementary school yet, but every time I read a book, I do a book report, and it's how I learn. And so when I read a book, I don't read it on a Kindle or digitally. I have the book, typically hardcover, and I have a yellow highlighter, and I highlight the key points for me. And then I go back and I write down the big ideas, and then I summarize each chapter. And for me, I can't tell you how many times I've drawn on those books, because I read a lot. And I'm also getting older, so my memory is not as great as it used to be. And so I can always go back to those book reports and pick out those nuggets that were important to me then, or maybe the ones that maybe didn't resonate as much then but do now. And I do it all the time, and I'll give you an example. Just this week, a few different examples. I had lunch yesterday with a client who's also a dear friend, and he's the CEO of his company, and we were sharing the entrepreneurial journey. And the previous lunch we had, I told him about a book called Extreme Ownership that I had read, and he was reading it now. And he had written down the book, and he was reading it, and that's like one in 50 that probably do that. But I said, look, I've got the notes, and my normal agreement is if you finish the book, I'll send you my notes. But he's a dear friend, so I went ahead and sent those to him. Just yesterday, also, I had a visitor in the office who was a former protege of mine at the University of Memphis, the MILE program, Memphis Institute for Leadership Education, and he was a protege 7 years ago, and he went back to a book called The E-Myth Revisited that I had given him by Michael Graber. And he wants to be an entrepreneur, and we were discussing that, and he was referring to that 7 years later, and he's just now starting to read the book. So I told him, you have to finish the book before I give you the notes.
No cheating.
And I'm reading a book right now that you gave me that is really special to me, and I'm very excited to do the book report on that one. So it's a big part of my life, and it's a big part of how I learn. And it's a wonderful way to share with other people, particularly those who kind of are curious or want to learn the same things that you're learning.
Absolutely. I definitely want your Cliff Notes version. I will finish the book first, I promise. But that is definitely something I look forward to. So as far as mentors, so kind of along that same line is having mentors in your life. I know mentorship is a huge element of what you do and has been important in your life. So tell me what role that's played in this Christian business leader and entrepreneurial journey. What is the role of mentors played in your life?
Yeah, well, I've been blessed because I've had some wonderful mentors in my life. When I was in college, I worked my way through school working at very famous clothing stores, Oak Hall, which is a Memphis clothing store that started in 1859. And everything I learned about customer service, I learned then as a college student, and that made a huge impression on me, and I wanted to pay that forward. And then the chairman of the company that I was mentioning, his name is Jean-Louis Bouchard, he taught me everything I know about strategy and communication. And we're still friends today. We talked this week, as a matter of fact. And I've had many different mentors in my life, so I've been blessed first. So I can appreciate that. And so I've tried to pay that forward with other people. And, I still look today. I have a business mentor and a personal mentor here in Memphis. His name is Kirk Bailey. He's the CEO of Pinnacle Bank here in Memphis. And we've been good friends for over 25 years. And he mentors me just by being himself. You know, he's kind of the quiet type, super smart, very strategic, very much, I think, an introvert in a way. But he just leads by example. Right. And he doesn't have to say anything. He just does. And again, I've observed this for 25 plus years, and that's very, very inspiring to me. And so his behavior, you know, I don't want to speak for him, but to me, in observing him, I don't see him wear Christianity on a sleeve. But everything he does makes me know he's a Christian.
Absolutely.
And that's a really cool way to be, I think.
Well, and that's really what you are when you're a mentor or you're being mentored. That's exactly what Christ did, is he took 12 people and he invested in them for 3 years and they changed the world. And I think that if we did more of that, both in business and in our personal walk and in Christianity and all the different things that we are, and I like what you said earlier, we were present with people, then I think that would engender a lot of increased benefits, both as far as learning, because, you know, you learn from what you observe, and also from the way that you see how people live out being a Christian leader. And so I think that's an awesome testimony.
Yeah, I think there's an attitude about that too. I did a show a couple of years ago called We Believe in Memphis with Shane Stanford and Maxie Dunham. Shane is the current pastor at Christ Church, and Maxie is the pastor emeritus. And they were sharing in their ministry, they run into business leaders so often who are so bound by their work, and many of them, they say, in their experience, you know, have gone into business to see what they can extract from other people.
Right.
And, you know, what I'm learning in my journey is to not worry about the return. I know that sounds strange as a CEO, but to invest in and not really worry about the outcome, because it's just like Christ. I mean, he poured into people, but it was still their choice as to how they responded. And it's just like a book idea. If you give somebody a book to read, maybe 1 in 10, 1 in 20 might read it. Who knows? But the one person that does, that's a pretty good return. And so I've let go of the need for them to respond in whatever way. I think it's important to invest in other people, and then how they respond is going to be up to them. Now, I'm a Methodist, so that's kind of a free will concept. Other people have the predestination thought, but I'll leave it at that.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate your time today. I think all the principles that we've talked about and seeing it lived out in the company that you and Gary have put together, and just really as God's led y'all on this journey that you've been leading with Christ and put him in the center of it. And I think that y'all have been very blessed because of it.
We have been. Of course, if you look at the history of the Bible, God created, changed the world through a lot of misfits. And so we're probably the same way. I think you can achieve a lot out of brokenness and just accepting that and owning that, which is another one of my passions in terms of behavioral health. That, again, I mean, the 12 were pretty much a ragtag bunch, and so was just about every other character biblically. So, God can do some incredible things with very ordinary people.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, and I know you've got a busy schedule, so taking your time out to sit and do this podcast with me and also to share that wisdom that you've been living out each and every day is definitely appreciated. So thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate being here, and I'm a work in progress, so I'm happy to come back. Thank you.
Wow, that was such an incredible episode with Michael. He's been a mentor in my life, and I've been able to see firsthand them take these principles, and him and Gary both, and lead their company with Christ first and at the center of everything that they do. And one thing that really stood out to me was how he talked about his mentor that tore up his non-compete and basically freed him to go and pursue this business. He didn't have to do that, but that was an incredible spirit of generosity. And his mentor invested in him and said, hey, look, I'm going to free you to go do this. Well, it's interesting to me to see that spirit of generosity transfer to Michael, because fast forward years later to a few years ago when I had graduated as an intern from Master IT, and they brought me back a few months later, or a year later, I don't remember exactly, but I came back and he had me do some consulting work. Well, when I brought the proposal to him, it was significantly more per hour than I had charged when I was an intern. So I was all worried, you know, oh, will he accept it and all this, that, and the other. Well, in his spirit of generosity, he looks at it, and I took it at first as, oh man, this is not good, because he looks at it and it's like, Hunter, this isn't going to work. And I said, what do you mean this isn't going to work? You know, and I was like immediately thinking, well, he's just not going to go with it. He said, Hunter, charging this little, you will never succeed in business. And that was not the answer I was expecting. But
he was willing to invest in me, and he saw that I had the opportunity to grow in my business, and he challenged me, and he ended up having me, it ended up being about double what I was going to charge him. He had me go ahead and double what I was going to charge him so that it cost him something. But at the same time, that same spirit of generosity transferred through, and he showed that to me. And then now that really challenged me to go and show that spirit of generosity to others in my business.
I think that's so good, because when I go back to this conversation, one thing that stood out to me is how Michael was talking about how he has to choose his team members carefully. And he's seen the importance of choosing people who are even different than he is. Well, I think the same thing goes with choosing our mentors. You know, we hear the saying, choose your friends wisely because you will become the sum of your five closest friends. Well, I think that also relates to your mentors. You have to choose your mentors very carefully because they're going to be the people who influence you in business. They're going to be the people who invest those golden nuggets into the kind of leader you're going to become. You know, I think it's important that we choose mentors who are even further along than us, obviously, and those that will challenge us to rise with them. They're not just going to pat us on the back and say, hey, we're doing this together.
Exactly.
But they're going to say, here's how you can become better. This is how I got where I'm at. And I think that's very important that we surround ourselves with a variety. And they don't even have to be in the same profession we're in. Just like choosing team members that are diverse. I think it's good to choose mentors that are diverse because they're going to invest different principles and different viewpoints, perspectives into us to where we have a broader view of business, of life, of how we treat our team members, of how we build our company. And I think that's very important. I think that's very wise for what he's doing with his team members and for all of us to do as we choose our mentors in business.
Well, exactly. And the reality is that's what Jesus did. When he chose the 12, and Michael alludes to this, it wasn't necessarily the cream of the crop of what everyone would, you know, hey, I'm going to go choose 12 people just like me. He went and chose people with a variety of backgrounds. Some of them were fishermen. Some of them were tax collectors. Some of them did many different occupations and different skill sets and different levels of intellect and all these different things. But he took those people and he worked with them and surrounded himself with them and led them so that they in turn were able to become a core group of people that could change the world because they were able to leverage and lean on each other's strengths and you know, fill in for each other's weaknesses. And then later, you see, when Paul was called by God on the road to Damascus, he brought an entirely different skill set to the table because he was an intellect. He had all these different things going for him, but people would have been like, oh, he's not a Christian. He's not like me. He's trying to pursue, you know, persecute us and kill us. But God saw that there was value in him. And I read a book about these principles, biblical principles in leadership. And one of the things is it said, what it gave that example and says, God, you know, pulled out all the stops to get the right person. And even though he was on the other side, if you will, God was intentional about drawing him and bringing him onto the team. And that was important. And it fit well with the overall plan that he knew he needed different types of people with different skill sets to accomplish this mission.
Absolutely. You know, going back to what Michael said earlier in the conversation, he said when Christ made interactions, he was very intimate. And as we look at Master IT, they have made that a priority of their company. They're not just building a company, but they're building relationships. And I think that's very important as business owners and business leaders, because every interaction we make is either going to make a positive or a negative impact on the people that we are helping and associating with. And so I think it's important for us to stop and think about, we're not just building a company, we're not just building finances, but we're building relationships. And what kind of relationship do we want to build? What kind of impact do we want to have on an individual's life?
Well, I agree completely. And from my firsthand knowledge of one, being an intern there years ago, and then working as a consultant with them off and on for years now, seeing how they communicate both internally and with their clients is very important. He wasn't just, you know, saying all this stuff and it sounded good. Like, they lived this out. And they're really intentional. He mentioned about, you know, it's not about having a team full of all-stars. It's about having a team that works together. And they have really worked hard at creating that culture. And I think that that's, you know, you see that in the Bible where, you know, Paul talks about it, different ones, you know, about how we are the body of Christ. You know, if the hand says to the foot, you know, I don't need you, or vice versa. Well, no, we need each other. And there's a biblical principle there that there are spiritual implications in the church, but then in the business, there's a lot of benefit to having a bunch of team players instead of a bunch of all-stars running off doing their own thing. And we see that principle play out over and over again. And they have absolutely been able to create a team culture, a culture around that, that, you know, definitely facilitates that and matures that as they grow their company.
You know, I think it's ironic that we're talking as we are right now, because we're talking about how important it is to have these mentors and these people in our lives. Well, we have Michael Drake in our life. And I think that's been very important for us. He's helped us grow. He's helped our business grow. And he is that perfect example of what we're talking about right now. And, you know, when you guys were talking earlier, he was talking about a book that you had given him. And
Building a Story Brand, yeah, by Donald Miller.
Mm-hmm. I think our listeners would like to know about that.
Well, yeah, that is an incredible book. If you are in business or in marketing or just want to tell stories better, you definitely need to get the book, Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller. It goes through in all the details about the importance of storytelling, about communicating to your customers, and really it goes all back to story. People, when you open a story loop, people like to listen. It's the one thing that people really engage with. That's why a lot of different media and books and all these different things have sold for generations and for centuries, is because it's about stories. It shows the humanity. And that's why, one of the reasons why we have this podcast is to share real life business stories. It's not just a bunch of lectures, but it's about sharing stories that matter, and we learn from that. And so if you want to be able to succeed in marketing your business and growing it and communicating better, both internally to your team and also to potential customers, I definitely recommend that book.
Well, friends, I think that wraps it up for today. We've had a great time with you in this episode. Hey, go find us on social media, Facebook and Instagram. You can find us at The Blessed Business. While you're there, give us a like, give us a follow. Also, if you have any questions for us, or if you have any topics you would like for us to cover in an episode, go ahead and send us a direct message and submit all those questions and topics. You can also find us at our website, theblessedbusiness.com. Share us with your friends and tune in next time.